I do believe that, yeah, I think Hasbro has definitely put some level of control over Wizards of the Coast, which could explain last year's Monopoly supplemental product. It just didn't make any sense. You open packs, the rares were like Baltic Avenue. I never thought that card would see a reprint. It was nasty.
Well, it's not like they broke the reserve list and reprinted Park Place.
Oh,
Yeah,
Jesus, thank God, right?
I've still got a stack of free parking I can't get rid of. On track. I'm your host, Jared. Joining me today again is Chad.
Howdy.
And Perry.
What up?
And welcome to a very special episode of Pillar Field Talks.
It is a special episode. We're going to talk today about sex education in America.
I mean, it should be obvious that that is what we're going to discuss.
Now, we're also going to... What's that?
Wear a condom.
Wear a condom, kids. Yep.
Congratulations, you've all been educated sexually.
Now, if you'd like a demonstration of how to wear a condom, click on the show notes below.
Look elsewhere.
I'm just every link rickrolls, man.
You just link everything to a rickroll? Okay.
Yeah, maybe one of them will be like that cat playing a piano.
I'll just replace our website with the YouTube video for Rick Astley's Never Gonna Give You Up. I'll just change the domain to link to it.
So, one exciting thing that has recently been released, we're going to post this show almost without editing immediately after we've recorded so that you can know the information immediately. They have spoiled some of what is going to be coming up after the next... Is this a supplemental product, or have they said that it's going to be like an actual block?
As far as I know, this is what is taking the place of corsets from here until the foreseeable future, is they're just going to continually sequelizing this one set.
Amazing.
I mean, there's a lot of material here.
Yeah, it is. There is 1,001 pieces of material. That's right, people. 1,001 Arabian Nights is back.
It's Arabian Nights 2, Arabian Harder. Since you told me about it originally, Jared, would you like to explain how we all figured this out?
Yeah, I'm sure that you guys can find like the subreddit for it or whatever it is, but here's what we know as of now. Okay, let me get to the top of this. Okay, Wizards, you know, they're doing the tricky stuff once again. They remember how positive the community responded to their conspiracy spoilers. So they're back at it again. Let me see. Here we go. Yeah, in one of Morrow's March articles, there's a secret message printed in the dot of one of the eyes. Which is simply reads a whole new world. When we question him on it about on a Blogatog, the only thing he alleged that it was like, you know, just an error in a program or something to that nature. In an interview with Aaron Forsyth, however, there's a rug in the background, like a Persian rug, and on the rug, there's some specific stitching there, which someone has noted that it perfectly fits in the Morse code. And when this is decoded, it reads from the first six opening lines of 1001 Arabian Nights, the exact edition that Garfield used when he was creating the set. And that's how we are coming to our current conclusion that Arabian Nights 2 is going to be the next set. I think there's a little bit more spoiled.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen definitely a couple of cards here and there, and Richard Garfield always said that Scheherazade was his favorite card. So we all knew this was coming eventually. It's basically a foregone conclusion.
Yeah, and right now, like, no one's giving any interview, any information on it. So we don't know if Garfield has come back to help design. We don't know who's the head designer on this. It's pretty tight-lipped. Yeah, exciting. It's exciting. That's a thing.
Dude, there's going to be a Jin Lord.
There's going to be a what?
A Jin Lord.
Oh, dude, Jin Lord?
Tribal Jin.
Mm-hmm. That's going to be, like, a major component of Arabian Nights 2.
What's it do? Jin Lord, okay, so the Jin's name will be, Arbstadt the Bold.
Arbstadt the Bold?
Yep, Arbstadt the Bold gives each Jin plus one, and phasing.
No, not phasing. Yes, exactly phasing. Is that the one where they phase out?
Yeah. Yeah, as the guys on JudgeCast say, the best way to describe what phasing does is just when it phases out, you just put a coffee mug over top of it. So all your gin have phasing now. It's really good for conditionally avoiding board wipes. That's all I got for that card. It's a rare, and it makes your gin happy.
Oh, yes, it does.
Okay, we already talked, we talked a little bit about our Digin there.
Yeah.
They're bringing back some of the classics from a bygone era of, when it comes to, like, some of these mechanics.
Right.
So I think we can expect to see some other stuff. I don't think that it's fair to say they'll be banding. I think that they're just not even going to touch that, but... You know, never say never.
That's true. You can't say never. And I remember seeing if you take the last episode of Drive to Work and you put it through a spectrograph, you can kind of make out what appears to be a white legendary card by the name of Prince Hussein. And while the text is still being deciphered, I think you had to have a Vignere cube in order to really figure that one out. It does look as though it might have something called Mega Banding. Any speculations on what that is?
Well, if it's anything like Mega Morph, it's when you band together, your creatures all get plus one counters. Or
sounds really strong.
Or maybe they all just get plus one till the end of the turn. I think that seems more fair, because you'd never not band if it was if that was the case.
One thing that I thought was pretty interesting from the spoiler is the reprinting of City in a Bottle. Now, that means that Zendikar is really going to have to hold its weight up in standard, because most of these cards are going to be pretty much unplayable.
Yeah, somebody lays down a City in a Bottle and you get half the standard environment eliminated with one card.
I also thought it was interesting that they are not going to complete the basic land cycle from the first Arabian Nights. Now, as you all remember, only the mountains were created in the original, and they're bringing that back for the second round. So any of you new players who need basic lands, don't buy any Arabian Nights fat packs unless you're interested in playing Burn for 2 years.
That's true. And it is also worth noting that the mountain is a mythic rare. It's just going to be really difficult to come by once again. I heard
I think
that there
Patrick,
was. Yeah, it was exactly what I was going to say.
I think Patrick Sullivan is going to replace the mountains in his burn deck with the new foil versions.
Right. It's going to be the first time this art is available in foil. And I believe it was actually backlash from Patrick Sullivan himself that got them pushed all the way from basic land rarity to mythic.
I guess he's been pushing a lot of buttons the wrong way.
Oh, yeah. It's interesting to notice that you can, in fact, retrieve one of the Arabian Nights mountains with any of the red fetch lands, which was a nice touch, I thought.
It's going to be incredibly relevant and standard.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of standard, I would say that one card to be on the lookout for, one that everybody's going to want, is going to be Maruf the Cobbler. He's a red creature for one and a red. He's a 2/3. He has haste, which is already just off the charts.
Is he a rigger?
Yeah, he is. He's a rigger. And I believe the following set, I might be wrong about this because I haven't finished, you know, deciphering their code yet, but I think is going to be a reprint of Future Sight. It's going to be Future Sight 2. We're revisiting that world. So I'm thinking Rigger Tribal and Jin Tribal are going to be the two major decks here.
Okay, so I want to make some baseless speculation on this Future Sight thing.
Right.
Where, like, okay, so we're going to go back to Zendikar. Then we're going to see Arabian Nights 2. And if we're going back to Future Sight, I don't think it'll be a real Future Sight. It'll be like a reoccurrence of the problems they had, like where there was all those time schisms. Well, guess what? Sarkhan Vaal just opened up a whole shitload of time schisms with his little antics. So maybe we're going to see the universe is holding together a little bit for Zendikar to come and pass. And then we start to see everything kind of start falling away. And that's why we can see into the Arabian Nights world. And then we come full circle back to more time schisms. Well, we're going to be coming back to, not so much Future Sight, but like, you know, a set that closely follows in the spirit of Future Sight, where everything's bleeding into one another and it needs to be fixed once again.
Man, that's pretty smart thinking there, actually. I'm thinking like Sarkhan Vaal, right, opens all of the worlds up. Yeah. He's the Pandora's box of Magic the Gathering. So I'm thinking and I don't think this is entirely baseless. I think we've had clues to this. But based on how well the Tarkir block has sold, I would say there's a pretty good chance that what's going to happen is that Sarkhan is going to open up a rift into Arabian Nights, and this block is also just going to be completely filled with dragons. So we'll have Aladdin on his flying carpet just immediately devoured by dragons. 1001 Arabian dragons.
Okay, I'm down with this. Dragons coming into the Arabian Nights world. I can see it being a political statement. You know, we have the Middle East being ravaged.
Oh, yeah, you know, you're right.
With fire, yeah.
Yeah, Wizards has always taken a very pro-America, almost jingoist-level stance on, you know, on world politics. And Magic the Gathering, just one of their products, they can use to exercise that voice.
Just wait until their new D&D campaigns come out. A lot of white sheets, from what I hear. I'm not talking about your character sheets, people.
Oh, okay. That is what I was thinking.
It kind of makes sense with the whole, like, the dragons putting the clans of Tarkir under their thumb.
Yeah.
Just completely erasing their history with their breath nukes.
Yeah, you have the minority becoming subservient to these large powers. I don't know if like that's supposed to be corporations or if it's supposed to be like a racial thing because, you know, dragons are a race. But
I have to say that it must it almost has to be like a socio-political thing.
So from what you found so far, are there any other cards that they've spoiled a little bit of or given any hints about?
Well, you recall Sinbad from the original Arabian Nights, correct?
Of course.
Yeah, I mean, he's, you know, one of the all-time classic characters from 1001 Arabian Nights. And, you know, his card allowed you to draw a card. And I think they realized they made a mistake by not having legendary creatures in the original set. So they went ahead and did a Kamigawa style flip card. There's Sinbad the Sailor on one half, and then whenever you have seven or more cards in hand, you can flip him over and he becomes Sinbad the Porter.
That is fascinating. Do we know anything else about like his abilities?
Well, I know that the Sailor allows you to draw a card much like his old version does. But when he flips over to a Porter, he becomes creature type human boat, and he becomes an 8/8 with Island Walk. Which is a bargain, because I believe he only costs 3 mana.
Human, that's fascinating. Human boat, the first of its kind. This is a whole new direction for Wizards if they choose to keep pursuing it. Maybe this is a one-off, but inanimate object meets creature type, I can't wait.
Oh, me neither. I mean, we've already seen the implications of having Jhin lamps as well as flip cards.
That's amazing. We're, what is it? It's like a, it's an artifact that comes down,
mm-hmm.
and then you have to complete, you know, there's of course five different lamps in the five different colors, and each one you have to meet a certain, you have to do something to represent kind of like, you know, rubbing the lamp, like, you know, maybe for red it's like doing three damage with an instant or sorcery or something like that, and then it'll flip over and you get the Jhin.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Jhin's a creature. This is really exciting. It's like, you know, you could say that they've already got artifact creatures and why would they need to do this, but this is really flavorful, and I can't fault them for trying something new, because it could be really exciting to have this idea where, like, you know, artifact will remove it at one point, and then if you complete your thing at instant speed, or if that's possible, then you have a creature, it nulls that, it opens up a whole new area of gameplay and decision-making.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly, it's a great decision, but unfortunately Wizards had to go and do what they do in every set, and they printed a 6-mana blue enchantment that just gives all of your artifacts that you play from that point on the rub mechanic. And it goes downhill from there when you think about the implications.
For 6 mana, yeah. In any case, if these lamps are worth their salt, like all of it may cease, like some commander play.
Yes, true.
Although you do have to fall within the color identity. These artifacts will have color identities, won't they? Or will they only have color identities when they're flipped? Now, these are a lot of rules questions here. I can't believe that Matt Tabak's letting them do it, but I'm excited.
I believe that actually when they go to announce this is, I can't exactly reveal my sources here, but I believe they actually put Matt's head on a pike outside of the Wizard's office about a week ago to announce this set.
So this is, of course, a Plaster of Paris one or something like that, but...
No, they murdered...
They murdered the rules manager.
The rules manager, in order to get some of these more controversial cards pushed through.
So they just like did it up to where it's just like, if you won't do it, we'll put someone in there who will.
Yeah, and I believe Ron Jeremy is now the rules manager. I don't know why him. It seems like an odd choice, I agree.
You know, I thought I couldn't love Magic more.
Mm-hmm.
I think Ron Jeremy is a smart dude, and he'll do what's best for Wizards of the Coast and Magic moving forward.
He knows that most of his audience is nerds. So yeah, I think he'll work hard to make it right.
I don't know. I have a feeling they only put him in power because of his documented narcolepsy. They'll let him slip a lot of cards through when he's not awake and paying attention.
So you think that this might even be just a downward spiral for Magic in general, because they're putting the guy in charge of keeping the game, like, you know, playable, is going to be Rod and Jeremy falling asleep on the job, literally.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be a great time for Commander. That's all I have to say.
Okay, well, I you know, kind of write Wizards. Get on Blogatog right now, Morrow's Tumblr page. And just tell them that, you know, maybe Ron Jeremy is not the best choice for managing the rules. I don't want to doubt him, but if it's as bad as you say, where they think they're just going to slip all kinds of shenanigans by him, that's not the magic I believe in. That's not my magic.
Yeah, that's why we're going to print up T-shirts. It says Pillar Trail Talks on the front. On the back it says, "That's not my magic."
That's right. We're also going to do play mats, so you could be looking forward to those in just under about 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to get this. We're going to get this game back on the track. Back on track.
No, back on the track. Specifically, the track to Wizards office to protest.
Now, do you think it's Wizards internal making these decisions, or what I feel is more likely is that their parent company, what is it?
Hasbro, I believe.
Yeah, Hasbro. They're a big company. All they care about is money. They know board games that, you know, have eternal family appeal. I think they're sticking their nose where it doesn't belong, and they're making some bad calls. Definitely wouldn't be the first time.
I mean, I guess that explains why Wizards has decided to reprint Library of Alexandria as the chase card of this set. Now that pairs really well with the new gin they spoiled. It's pack gin. It's one in a blue. It has flying, and its power and toughness are equal to the number of gin you control. And you can pay 3 and discard a card to make a gin. And combining that with Library of Alexandria, you can make sure your hand is always full and you have enough cards to discard to your pack gin. Along with the reprint of Counterspell in Standard. Putting that in a Standard, leave 2 blue up, and if they don't do anything, you can just make another flying massive gin. I think that'll be the synergy to beat moving forward in Standard.
I think that the moment that they talked about that, the general reaction from the community was that the new nickname for Library of Alexandria was going to be Juice, specifically because it goes so well with gin.
We've talked about some of the you know, chase rares and stuff. Have they given us just like a taste of the commons? Sometimes they do that. Flying men, are they coming back?
I mean, we can only hope. I haven't seen anything yet, but these flying men, they might do. They might go ahead and print extra flying men. They just can only be blocked by creatures with flying. But also can only block creatures with flying. You know, the old Stratus Lock switcheroo. I believe that one's going to...
It's a 3-2 for 1, right? Like, they aren't even making you jump through hoops anymore.
Oh, right, yeah. The Flying Men of
flying,
Secrets.
Flying Ermen?
The Flyingest Men? The Flyest Men? Flying Man Aberration? It's going to be one of those names for sure. I'm not sure.
I mean, Insectile Aberration is literally a fly, man.
That's true. He was...
I never put those two together.
Nah, yeah,
man, Wizards have been playing the long con on this one.
They really have. It's been, what, almost like 19 years in the making?
Now, I wonder if this is just how Mauro says goodbye. It's just him bowing out. Like, da-da-da-da-da-da.
Bang.
Yeah. Gotcha.
It's possible, but they've already said they were going to go, that they plan to revisit Arabian Nights 3 in 2017.
I think the syphilis has finally gone to Mauro's brain.
Little known fact, Mauro has syphilis. Now, where he got it from is the craziest story.
Right.
It's funny because that shit's treatable now, and he just hasn't gotten around to it.
I think it's a religious thing.
So it's a lifestyle choice? Like, who are some, like, famous people who had syphilis? Maybe he's, like, trying to reenact, like, their, like, get their genius going.
Well, Ron Jeremy, obviously.
He actually invented syphilis. Back when he was born in 1909.
Yeah. You think syphilis has only been around that long? You think Ron Jeremy has only been around that long?
Wake up, sheeple.
Ron Jeremy actually does look a lot like Dan Halen, right? Dan Halen? Yeah.
Dan Halen? Is that like the rock band that only sings about like really mundane bullshit?
No, it's the bad guy from Squidbillies.
Oh, I gotcha.
Yeah, they did an episode where they just found out he was the incarnation of evil and has always been. Now, I'm not saying Ron Jeremy's the incarnation of evil. He's obviously the incarnation of sex.
That's true. And that's why I have an idol of him that just sits on my windowsill.
Oh, man, you know what else I heard?
What else did you hear?
They're replacing Rich Hagen with another famous syphilitic.
Oh, tell me more.
It sounds like the upper echelons of the Wizards community is just racked with syphilis. It's just melting their brains away. They got Rich Hagon? They got Ron Jeremy? They got Mauro? Who else is involved? Are they all giving each other syphilis? Where is it coming from? I'm sorry to interrupt you. Who are they replacing Rich Hagon with?
Gary Busey.
Oh! I did not hear this.
Oh, the Wild Man?
Now, you want Magic to have a shot in the arm Wow.
Yeah, Gary Busey is the one to do it. It'll be just pure uncut heroin as well.
He might just shoot at your arm.
With guns.
With guns.
Yeah.
I cannot wait to go to a Grand Prix if Gary Busey's like in charge of telling us what's going down.
Oh yeah, especially after his 1998 Pro Tour performance, where in the middle of round 6, his opponent cast a lightning bolt targeting him, and he responded by shooting him in the leg with a 9mm.
Oh, man, that's one of Magic's most embarrassing secrets.
It's true. It was one of the first, like, major rules-breaking scandals. Alex Bertoncini only wishes he could have reached that high. Yeah,
fun fact, his opponent in that match in 1998 was Ron Jeremy.
Now, and this is why I think that the Ron Jeremy thing could turn out okay. It's because Ron Jeremy, after being shot, went on to win that match.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Because subsequently the lightning bolt resolved, and because Gary Busey had just put just 60 and 15 for his sideboard strips of beef jerky into card sleeves and stacked it up as his deck, he was actually unable to do anything over the course of the game.
No. He had some secret tech. He had the 4 necropotents in his sideboard.
Oh, right, yeah.
So, he used to keep his hand full of beef jerky.
Well, Gary Busey got pretty far in that tournament, considering he got a match loss at the beginning of each game.
For not, in fact, having more than 4 Magic cards in his deck at any given time. Yeah, that was the notorious follow-up to Black Summer, Beef Summer.
Man. So have you ever, what is it, if you see your opponent with beef jerky at the table, make sure he's not slipping any into his hand.
Mm-hmm. And also make sure that he went through a metal detector that day, because it might be Gary Busey, the master of disguise.
I can't wait to see him come back, man. After learning some of this stuff and going over it again, rejogging my memory, if there's one thing we can say about the entrance of Gary Busey into the announcing arena for Magic, is that it will be exciting.
That's true. It is notable that they're not replacing any of their other commentators. So it's going to be interesting to see the chemistry, Marshall Sutcliffe and Gary Busey.
This is going to be the summer of change, people.
Mm-hmm.
If you're afraid of change, you might just want to sell off your collection right now. Contact us at Pillarfield Talks. We'll panic buy it from you. If you're panic selling, we're panic buying.
And in addition to that, if you happen to be afraid of change, they now actually make debit and credit cards. So you don't have to break dollar bills anymore. Was that just that bad? Was that so bad? There's no follow-up to that. I apologize. That was
pretty good. I thought it was.
I heard that, and I thought about it for a second, and I was like, man, I didn't have the crickets pulled up.
If you only had the crickets. You can put we'll add the crickets in post.
Marshall tried to quit, but Gary Busey is holding his family hostage.
I believe it!
Yeah, they're in the same dungeon with John Finkel's family. Yeah, that's good.
Of course, as we discussed on previous episodes, it's the only reason he shows up to the Pro Tour anymore.
Right. Well, now everyone's going to show up to the Pro Tour for a chance to meet Gary Busey.
Dude, I can't... What card do you have Gary Busey sign?
I just bring my bag of beef jerky for him to sign.
Oh, right.
Well, you're not going to get any of it back.
Well, I just give him the bag. He doesn't want the bag. Beef jerky. You get the he signs the bag. He gives me back the bag. Fill it with beef jerky.
Okay, oh, actually, I totally made this call 2 weeks ago, but we didn't put it in the episode, was that the magic card that Gary Busey most closely resembles is Fire Drinker Seder.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, so it's true.
Yeah, he's actually playing Fire Drinker Seder in the new Magic movie.
Oh, right. I totally missed that announcement.
Which is going to be exciting as hell.
Mm-hmm. It's Gary Busey as Fire Drinker Seder, I believe is the main character in the film. Because, why wouldn't he be? He is a one-drop. He should be the first thing you see.
That's right. The movie does curve out nicely.
Yeah.
It's funny that it curves out with skin shift. Yep, you go one drop Gary Busey and a two drop Nicolas Cage. And it's quite the curve you got there.
It does make sense that they would have Nick Cage in this, since he essentially already made the magic movie called The Sorcerer's Apprentice.
That's sure, yeah. I think the plot borrows heavily from that.
I can't imagine that it really isn't just going to be like a name brand Sorcerer's Apprentice.
Just a shot-for-shot remake of that movie from 2012.
Yeah, you know, there'll be some recast, and, you know, we'll put some official Hasbro logos all over it, and, you know, of course, we'll do some more product placement, a little less savvy. Like, you know, there's going to be a scene, like, where they're on Ravnica, and Jace has finished giving the guild pact, and the kid from Earth walks up to him and gives him a Pepsi, and Jace ponders over it for a while.
Yeah, it's going to be like that, was that old... It was a Pepsi commercial, wasn't it, with a kid? It's waiting in the locker room.
The Big Joe Green Coca-Cola
commercial? Mean Joe, yeah, Mean Joe.
Okay.
Yeah, it'll be Mean Jace Green. Mean Jace Blue, and he'll throw his cloak to the kid.
He'll be like, wow, thanks, mister, and then he'll put it on and forget who he was.
Yep.
Just like Jace, discover more in Magic Origins. One of the other interesting things... FTV Angels, the card set, not the website, will be one of the first to do a non-reprint. It'll be an exclusive promo card in that may or may not be a direct tie-in with FTV Angels, the website.
It's the first full frontal Magic card.
Which is bold, because Wizards has been going in a great direction with embracing... everyone, except for plus size planeswalkers, of course.
Right.
Them doing a full frontal nudity, will be interesting. I hope they continue to embrace people by making this not a typical, like, nude lady angel, but, going tranny with it. And I think that would be a bold statement.
It really will be. Well, in addition to that, I think FTV Angels is going to be, the first set released with the new card frame. The one that's designed by Ed Hardy and just has tribal flames around the outside.
Man, they're trying to chase me out of this game, man.
Oh, I'm already long gone. I'm just doing this as kind of like a
wrap-up.
Yeah, this is a Magic the Gathering. Yeah,
this is how we bow out. Well, I don't know. I might stick around for the ensuing shitstorm. I don't know that I'm going to buy the product, but I know that I will go and will tell our listeners the ensuing firestorm that's about to partake, that, like, you know, overtake us.
I think I'm going to draft the new set a couple of times, just see how it goes, and buy like 10 to 15 copies of FTV Angels to speculate on.
It's a safe bet, because if this is a purely promotional card and they are not going to print it anywhere else, it automatically has value for that, if nothing else. Whatever the card does, it doesn't matter. Like, there's that crazy promo that they, gave out at that one con, Dragon Con or whatever it was, that, like, went crazy wild. And of course, we've seen what the all black planeswalkers have done from Comic Con. So I think it's, you do have a very limited print run of FTV Angels, so I think it's really safe to speculate and pick up, since there's going to be an exclusive card that's nowhere else, unless this upcoming set that they're doing, we were talking about the revisitation of a kind of future site world, this card will be in there, and I think that would be actually, like, really genius to play with the community in that way.
Mm-hmm.
I think them introducing the very tasteful Ed Hardy frame. I think just having that in foil with the first full frontal nudity. The very nice new frame. I think it's a slam dunk for sure as far as collectible value.
Yeah, and I'll say that, you know, while I may not be comfortable with the change right now, I'm gonna take the high road on this and say that I appreciate that Wizards has become more concerned with their adult audience and is going to cater more towards what they perceive adults might like. I mean, they've seen the upsurge of people watching Game of Thrones, and they know that the audiences can handle full frontal nudity and some sexual content, blood. So I guess that it's just them reaching out for a more mature fantasy audience.
It's true. And, you know, like I've been saying since day one, is get the kids out of the game. Like, the second a child sits down to play a game of Magic, I think the world is dying just a little bit more every day.
Yeah. Yours is a little bit better than my response. Mine is just simply gross.
Right.
Man, a kid's picked his nose, and now I gotta handle his card. He's gonna handle all my cards to read them.
Oh, man.
And children have perpetually sweaty hands. Have you noticed that?
I have. Dude, real life story. And I believe the kid was like, he's probably an adult. He's probably over 18. And this dude I was playing at F&M one time, and I played a card, and he was like, I don't know what that does. And he had been like picking at his teeth the whole game and just grossing me out like real bad. And he goes and he reaches over at my Scavenging Ears that I just played, and he like, puts he just straight up, like, it's not like slow motion, I don't have time for this. He just puts his two fingers on it and turns it around and then turns it back. And when he picks his fingers up off the card, there are just two slimy fingerprints on the front of the card sleeve. And like I was mortified. I didn't know what to do.
That's the entire reason why I've quit Paper Magic, along with the fact that they finally fixed Magic Online.
That, I'm going to take your word for it. I don't play a lot of Magic Online, but I'm sure that, what is it, every Monday they release, like, Tuesdays. It's like they release a new set of information for, like, the updates and everything. So maybe they finally poured the money in. I mean, you're experiencing the results right now, right?
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. They started giving out free drafts to get people into it.
Man, this fucking Wizards all over. They did not publicize that shit because I wasn't doing it. Free drafts, I'd get in there.
I mean, people are still under the assumption that Magic Online is complete bullshit, but they really stepped it up and turned it around recently. So, yeah, I'd definitely put all of your money into Magic Online.
Also, you would never believe what comes up when you Google famous syphilitics. And by you would never believe, I mean nothing. Not a damn thing comes up. I tried to add some level of legitimacy to that claim. not a whole lot of famous syphilitics, it turns out.
Man, I thought they'd at least have, like, William Shatner on there.
Yep.
I think that should be the title of this podcast.
Famous syphilitics?
Stuff like that.
Dude, I haven't even seen any of the new standard decks. Like, what do they look like?
Well, I haven't...
Sadisi is real.
Yeah, Sadisi is a real thing, as it turns out.
Is it that thing, like, Brad Nelson was talking about on the set review, where it's just like, you run three of her, and then you just need, like, some one-ofs of problem solvers in your deck, because you can just tutor for them?
Yeah.
You whip her back into play to...
I just watch any Reed Duke Stanford videos from today. She pretty much came up in every single match and was totally insane.
Huh, okay. Yeah, I've been meaning to watch that, but, like, the weekend's been pretty busy. I'm off tomorrow, so when I start editing, like, after I edit, like, about half an hour of this, I'll stop and just start rewatching all that stuff on MTG coverage. Thank you for introducing me to that. Like, that has helped my viewing so much. Okay, we just talked about some of the newest items spoiled. The rumor mill, the fact mill, some speculation about what's coming up in the future. Like I said, we just finished recording this. I'm going to have it up with... I'm going to be submitting it to MTG Cast within about 20 minutes, 30 minutes after I'm done with this, and I get some basic editing done just to clean up the audio quality. We'll try to have some kind of links for you ready, but it's going to be, like, immediately up. Other than that, thank you for joining us again on Pillar Field Talks. You can catch us on pillarfieldtalks.com or the MTG Cast Network. You can send us some mail, some questions, anything you need to know. We'll try to answer to the best of our ability at the time at pillarfieldtalks@gmail.com. And you can tweet at us at pillarfieldtalk.
I think you mean you can tweet us up. Tweet us up.
I stopped recording. Here, let me start again. Okay, give me another tweet us up.
Tweet us up.
Okay, that's good.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
Put your back into it, man.
All right. Well, you know, you can tweet us up at Pillarfield Talks at Pillarfield Talk. No S.
That's right.
Tweet that S right off.
Tweet that S. Tweet that S.
Tweet that S. I like.
You're gonna be tweeting that ass tonight. Tweet that ass with me.
Tweet that ass with me.
You heard a twerking. I want to see you tweeting that ass. Listeners, why don't you take a little selfie of your ass and send it to us at Pillarfield Talks. Tweet that ass. Yeah.
Oh man.
Pillarfield Talks hashtag tweet that ass. Send us cards with pictures of donkeys on them.
Oh, man.
Tweet that ox. Send us pictures of the foil Pillarfield oxes.
That's great. Yeah.
Hashtag tweet that ox.
Yeah.